Looking forward to sharing with you this morning a confession. If you don't know, I'm a details guy. You know that by now, right? If I ever start a support group, it will be called Detailsaholic. I'm Dave, and I'm a Detailsaholic. Now you say, hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, nice to meet you. I feel so safe here. You know, as a pastor, I find that there's a lot of things that can become sort of my focus, and I want things a certain way, and I'm sorry if I sometimes rub. And some guy said to me yesterday, he said, Pastor Dave, we're all exhausted. Don't preach a long message. I said, don't count on it. So, love you, brother. Yeah. You know, it's all about perspective, perspective, perspective as a pastor. The urgency for perspective came long before this guy. It came from the scripture. And I think what we see here in our own ministry is the importance of the right perspective. Perspective can just be one of those things that we sometimes just fail to. We kind of forget what things really matter. And as we've talked a lot about, even in our New Man Bible study, it's, we really want to keep Jesus in the center. All the scripture points to him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. You know, it's all things Jesus, right? We understand also that Father, Son, Holy Spirit are working together. There is a complete unity in the Trinity, and they are all working together for God's ultimate glory and in our redemption. But we really get a glimpse of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you need to look at him. You need to see what he did for you. And I was so thankful for Mark Sommer last night. Mark did a wonderful job with that sketchboard. We all like visual aids, don't we? I guess I'm the only visual aid you have this morning because I don't have a lot of points on the back of the bulletin. I have some scriptures up on the screen. But we do connect to a visual. Visuals are really good. We live in the visual day. Everything's either a soundbite or a video or a thing or, I mean, YouTube is just saturated now with just, I mean, content and videos. And our eyes sometimes just see so many things in the course of a day. But how do you see clearly? How do you really see clearly as a believer? What keeps you fresh? What keeps the gratitude flowing? Day after day, month after month, year after year, until we see him face to face. Many people lose perspective, including this guy from time to time. It was wonderful last night. Wonderful, awesome, thankful in so many ways. But then it's like an hour after we leave, we hear of a tragedy down the street. So there is constantly things that are going to try to, like, again, knock us off. You know, some people want to say, well, where's the goodness of God in that? See, the goodness of God is always represented right here. Okay, that's why we put the cross center in our church. Jesus is actually, he's off that cross. He is bodily resurrected. He will never die. He did the work that needed to be done. He atoned for the sin of the world. And by simple trust, by any of us in this room, but, matter of fact, anybody on planet Earth, that's the awesome thing about our Jesus, is that his sacrifice paid it all. And as we think about him, because he's resurrected, right? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. This is Thanksgiving, not Easter, but still the message of Easter always is good. Whether we're at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, we always want to see the completed story. And the story is so special when we let Jesus lay hold of our own hearts. And I want to share a couple verses regarding sort of this idea of our thankfulness, his faithfulness. Our thankfulness. That's a response. Scripture actually says, "It's let us give a sacrifice of praise." Do you realize sometimes it's going to be a sacrifice for us to actually remember things? God, I don't like the way I feel today. I don't like what's going on. I don't like the things that are in this world. I don't like 10,000 homes being burnt down. But God, I'm going to praise you anyways. And you know, the scripture will teach you how difficult circumstances in people's lives taught them to praise God. You can see that in the life of David. You can see it in Daniel. You can see it in so many of the Old Testament saints who saw God, saw Jesus clearly, even in the midst of a fiery furnace, right? And so Isn't that, I love that story, the fiery furnace, that there's four in the furnace, right? And the fourth one looks like a son of the gods, okay, because it's the ever-present Christ placing his protection. So you're never alone as a Christian, ever. The moment you said, Jesus, you're mine, I'm not trusting in my religious works, I'm not trusting in my good deeds, I'm not trusting in Pastor Dave's Thanksgiving dinner, although all those things are really good. It's not my dinner, it's the church's dinner. But anyway, I'm the details guy, so it looks like it's, well, I'm just teasing. But, you know, what's, hi Dave, yeah, there you go. I celebrate service, I think service is great, but sometimes we can get so in the service realm that we forget that we just need to remain in a realm that it's a relationship with the Lord. If you do anything for God, do it out of the Spirit's power working in you. It's the Holy Spirit that actually energizes you to see things that when, and I got to say, I where's Mark? Mark, where are you? There you are. I'm not picking on you, but I'm going to for just a second. You know, some people are just, they develop a sensitivity through the Spirit of God. He tells me, Pastor Dave, and this guy's not bragging one bit, because I got to pray with 25 people tonight. 25 people listening to them, understanding them, and praying for them. That's like the way to open someone's heart, right? Whatever their circumstances are, whatever their religious background might be, what an awesome thing to actually have someone sensitive enough to say, I'm going to pray. This is an area that God's given me a niche and a joy in wanting to pray for people. And I've seen God use prayer to soften a situation. And it's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's what is that? Super duper? I don't know. It's just sweet when God put something on our hearts to do, and we take great delight in doing that. The apostle says, I want to read from 1 Thessalonians, and I've got a few verses. Let's go to chapter 2, Chris, if you can find chapter 2, verse 19. It should be up on the screen. And I want you to see this, because it gets back to this idea of perspective. And I pray that as our church does this wonderful thing called ministry, that we would constantly be mindful of why we get to do this. Paul says in verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. See, the work that we do this side of heaven has a future celebration in the presence of Jesus Christ. So when you write a check and you put a check in the offering plate, when you serve a meal, you're storing up, in one sense, treasures in heaven that Jesus says, I'm coming and my reward is with me. See, God is a generous God and he wants to reward. See, you got to remember, when you think of God's kindness in his heart, he sends his son, and Jesus voluntarily goes, I will go. And as we saw last night on that sketchboard, Christ voluntarily leaves heaven and lays down his life for sinners. People who would forget about him, people who would ignore him. You have a whole Jewish nation that said no to him, but he hasn't said no to them. Right now, God's doing this wonderful work called building his church, whether Jew or Gentile. The moment a person places faith in Christ, somebody in Jerusalem this morning who hears the gospel for the first time, and by the way, Mark Somer, who was here last night, is a Jew. He came to Christ, and if you didn't get his little track, I have some. They are fabulous about how this guy came to faith in Christ. And so when a person today places faith in Jesus, you are banking on him who died for you, who gave up his life for you. And Paul's saying, perspective of perspective, what's our joy? What is what we do this side of heaven? What are we doing now? Is it not you in the presence of God? Is it not you for what God wants to do? He wants to do this in your life. He wants to use the energy of a local church. He wants to use a pastor. He wants to use teachers. He wants to use those who've been equipped to do the work of ministry so that you can go out and you see these numbers in our church seem to be climbing each week. And to God be the glory for great things he has done. Do you realize that in ministry, I'm finding in this work, it's just great to see. I can't even tell you the amount of connections over this last couple of weeks that I've seen. It's like God's lining it up. God's lining up. He's lining up that food. He's laying this on people's heart. It's like people are just being carried along by his spirit. And then you merge it all together on a Saturday night, November 17th, and you see what God can do. You can see what he can do. And we put the Billy Graham movie on last night, the one-hour, brand-new one-hour movie, and we may show it as a church. Really wonderful. And by the way, thank you, Bill. He corrected me. It's not 2 million people that Billy Graham preached to. It was 200 million people. This video shows that even Billy himself was surprised of how God could use him. This guy who could just, when he got up to speak, God could speak right through him. And people were drawn to the Savior. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. But we have to lift them up in one sense. We have to remind people of what he has done for us. But our rejoicing and our perspective and our clarity this side of heaven is really about the work of ministry that's done through the Holy Spirit. So we'll go on to our main text this morning, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 22. A couple things I just want to tell you before we read this text. We just finished studying the book of Galatians. And I think if you see two urgencies, and you have to remember, Paul has penned 14 epistles, about 25% of the Bible, the beloved Apostle Paul, God's choice servant, one who was an enemy, made one to understand this matchless grace of God, energized by the Spirit, tasked with the responsibility of penning Scripture. And if you look at the two dated letters of 1 Thessalonians and Galatians, they might be in competition around the time that they were written. And I think about Galatians as a warning to everybody. You don't mix grace and works. You just don't do that because Jesus paid it all. If you serve God, you do it because you love him. You're not trying to earn his favor. I'm just on the earn wagon. They don't even realize they're really thinking that. I hope I'm good enough for heaven. So you're saying your good deeds are compared to what Christ did for you on that cross? Remember what we said last week? May I boast only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was my boast. That's where all of my energy comes from in my ministry. I am boasting in what he did. Anything comes out of my life, it's because that's where it begins. That's the origin of my service. Amen? All right. That tryptophan last night just didn't have an effect on you people, right? Up on the screen, Paul says here, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. See, if you know just a bit about the history of the book of Paul's writings to the Thessalonians, guess what they thought? We missed it. You know, do we miss the day of the Lord? These Thessalonians are now struggling. They need clarity. And Paul says, you're not going to miss this. You're not going to miss this. But it's our hope. The rapture is the hope for every generation of the church until Jesus comes. In the meantime, in this sin-cursed world, we're seeing the power of God's grace to save sinners. We're seeing the power of his grace to save sinners. And so don't lose heart when you're wondering, like, well, how many more wildfires are going to happen? How many more failed elections in America that are going to look really bad and I'm going to just be really mad at my leaders and my country and all these things? And because you know what? This is not our hope. We're urged in Scripture to pray for those in authority. But we're seeking a city to come, ultimately. Yeah, we get to enjoy it while we're here. I mean, this is awesome. We live in a day that we've got like more technology than we know what to do with. But I tell you, don't underestimate what God wants to do through you in a sin-cursed, burning-down world. Because God promised he's going to make all things new. So if you're a giver, if you're a giver of finances, if you're a giver to the work of God, just keep doing it. Because God has rewards for those who serve him. God has rewards for those who are good with their hands and say, I'm going to put my hands to this task. I know that whatever this church does, I want to make it so that more people can hear. You know, I watch the numbers climb throughout the week. I'm like, oh my goodness, like we are going to be floored with people. But you know what I realized last night? God wanted who was here is those he wanted here. I really believe that. Those people who struggled to be here, those people who fought to be here, those people who couldn't be here for whatever reason, I still believe there was still ministry happening. I couldn't say no to people. Can we come to the dinner? I'm like, yeah, we're full. But yeah, come on over. We'll do our best to feed you. And so God more than supplied for that dinner. By the way, if you need any gravy, there's a whole vat of it out there. It's still warm. I'm like, we were cleaning up last night. I'm like, a little bit of turkey, a little bit of gravy. That gravy's good. No, none of us can ever enjoy really that meal during that serving night. But I got home. By the way, we have some pies. Pastor's way off track today. Oh, my goodness. So there's some pies out there that we want to put out on the table so that if you just want to enjoy some fellowship at the end of the service. But I would encourage you this week, try to think just a little beyond the fact, and I love my home. I love the things that I get to enjoy. But every one of those things is temporary. I would say as you come into this week, maybe once again remind yourself what Christ did for you. He cleansed me from all my sin. He cleansed me. Peter talked about that. You know, you've forgotten that your past sins have been cleansed, right? Because in Christ, all sin is atoned for. Now, we can still, and as this says, we don't want to quench the Spirit. It's not like we're giving people a pass. Go do whatever you want. That's not, there's consequence for that too. God did not reverse the law of sowing and reaping. If you reap to your flesh, expect that there will be consequences. Yes, you're still loved by God. God loves, he loves people. Do you know that God's greatest desire is to be reconciled with his enemies? And why would you be an enemy of God? Because sin came with you in the world. And we have a three times holy God. The Bible says he's holy, holy, holy. There will never be sin in his presence. But God can certainly make a provision for sin, and he did that in Jesus. And so as you get to know Jesus better, you want to fall in love with him because of what he did for you. And then you want to learn as a believer, because when the moment you place faith in him, the moment that occurred, the Holy Spirit makes a deposit on you for the day of redemption. Matter of fact, he occupies you. That's why we want to be careful how we live in these days. That's why Paul would say, abstain from every form of evil. There's all types of evil that all of us can still, we can get entangled in this, but we're weak. And we should admit that to God. God, I'm weak, but in you I'm going to be strong. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, so much so that I'm not even going to go down those roads. There are things in my life as a pastor that I said, I'm not going there. I'm just not going to do it. It's just D-U-M-B for me. Okay? And sometimes you just got to be aware. What do you watch? Right? What do you fill your mind with? Where do you go? You can't legalize this thing. Our church is, we're not a legalistic church. But we certainly want to encourage people to follow the things in the Word of God that would help you ensure your success. So, because we want to be successful in the Spirit. We want to be successful. So Paul would say, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I mean, is this like every time you got an urge to pray, like you got to pull over so you don't drive with your eyes closed? I don't believe so. Do you know what I find so cool today? Everybody's like on the Bluetooth device. I don't know who they're talking to. I'm just driving down the street now. I could care less. I'm like, Lord, you're awesome. This guy's like, oh, he's on the phone again. No, I'm not. I'm talking to God. So talk to God even when you drive. Don't close the eyes, though, okay? We want to keep you on that road safely. There are times that my family will say, who's going to pray? You know, we'll be driving on the street. Who's going to pray? And then I start to close my eyes. I can't be the one to close my eyes. But pray without ceasing. And I really believe that's just a continual attitude of dependency upon God. You know, this is a relationship with him. It's a relationship. And somehow I think for a lot of people, when you come into salvation, real, genuine, born-again salvation, that Christ made you new, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how religious you have been even up to this present moment. The moment that you place faith in Christ, that's the real righteousness. That's righteousness, that's gifted righteousness given to you by God. you and I want to make sure that we're living out this righteousness. We're expressing it, that it's on our minds, it's on our hearts. And as you pray, as you're praying through the Spirit, in one sense, you're continuing to rejoice in the righteousness that has been bestowed upon you. So that when you're giving thanks to God, it always starts with what Jesus did for me first. We've said it oftentimes, that I love him because he first loved me. And that's how we want to do. You kind of just don't ever want to get. But the point I wanted to make there is some people, some of us come into faith in Christ already having a lot of rehearsed religious practice that we really didn't even own. We kind of, maybe it was just part of our upbringing, but it was minus life. It was duty. It was works. It was guilt. And see, when you come to Christ, you're actually coming into the zone of no condemnation. But you've got to come. That's why I believe God used a guy like Dr. Billy Graham, who was just would have turned 100 on November 7th. But for 99 years of his life, his life was used to serve God. And so your life too, my life too, can serve God. But real righteousness comes into the life of the believer when the moment they place Christ. And then after a while, it's like, you know, when I first got saved, I remember this. I was doing this, right? I was, you know, because I was raised Catholic. So after a while, I'm like, why am I doing that? You know, I'm not saying that's wrong, and I'm not criticizing anybody if you do that. But I started to realize I'm still bringing a lot of my own prior history into my experience. But I sometimes did it because I wasn't really thinking about it. Why do you do what you do? We were talking about that a couple weeks ago through the Book of Galatians. Why do we do what we do? Are you appeasing God through that? You know that the wrath of God was fully appeased in Jesus? And that's a beautiful thing to know. I love it so much that it says that the blood that was shed on that cross cleanses our filthy conscience. Whether you still feel filthy or not, that's the power of the blood of our Savior. But where Paul says here, don't quench the Spirit, we want to be sensitive to that stuff. There are adjustments that we need to make in our life. We should gladly say, I don't want anything to hinder what God wants to do through me. I don't want to get in the way. Actually, I want to get out of the way. I want to be used of him. I want to trailblaze in one sense. I want to be a details guy. Hi, Dave. I don't want to be in the way of what God wants to do. I don't want to be so impassioned by something that I actually forget why I get to do this. Perspective, perspective, perspective. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's right to give thanks in everything. One of the tones that I heard from Deirdre this morning in her text announcing that her father was in heaven was gratitude. I am sad, but I am rejoicing. See, that's the believer's hope. That's the believer's hope. Christians should not fall apart, although we can. We should. And the problem is, why Christians often fall apart is because they're not fortifying themselves like on a Sunday afternoon. Instead of watching 3 hours of Pats, right? And I'm not saying don't watch the Pats, but if that's all you do, just get home, got to get the Pats game. You realize that's 3 precious hours that you might have spent in the Word of God? You realize your phone app today, you got Bible Gateway, you got all these other resources that can be very helpful to your growth? You don't need a paper Bible with you anymore. You got a phone app. And we got people in our church who will set you up with a phone app if you, you know, we got techies in this church now. Thank you, Chris. Chris is great. I really appreciate his heart and his love, and God's going to do great things in him, and I'm trusting God's going to continue to lead him and make him what God wants him to be, and he's already in that process. But thank you. Paul would say, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. You realize today that most seminaries don't teach about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a doctrine that's been abandoned. We want to get we want to be the real Christians, you know, put the boots on. And I hear that, you know. But you realize that we're calling people out of darkness into light. But you know what motivates people of the light? The future. And there's great energy when you keep your eyes on what could happen even today. And Paul says, you know, in the latter days, difficult times will come. Now, Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, and I really believe that since the time that Christ went back to heaven, this is the difficult time zone. We're watching things happen like never before. We are seeing alignment that you, when you think about what's happening and how these things will come to place that Christ has already announced. If you want to see what Christ announced, you should spend a Sunday afternoon reading through the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. I did that a number of years ago before a Bible study. I got to the Bible study. It was a Sunday afternoon Bible study. I said, I read all 22 chapters today. I got saturated. I'm like, this is like an amazing movie. This is better than an amazing movie, but this is really stuff that we could see and get our mind and our perspective that God is faithful to his word. And we want to uphold the word of God so that we would not be those taken off. You know, Paul says, being immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you immovable and abounding in the work of the Lord? I know some of you are, and for that I'm so thankful. Some of you will become immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. So don't be impatient with yourself, but you got to get to know the scripture. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Wow. And that's an important thing. We want to watch our lives closely. Just watch them closely because it's not that you can be removed from an evil world, but you can certainly know and learn how to navigate in an evil world. And many of you I know have just been working hard. You've been trusting the Lord to continue to keep you on that path. But don't be surprised that sin's still going to try to make a pounce in your life. It's because you still possess this old nature that Jesus paid for. It hasn't been taken from you. That's why you can still have these crazy thoughts. Like, where did that come from? But James talks about how that thought can lead to things and in the end bring forth death, right? So sometimes you feel a separation in your relationship with God. What happened? You know, just always go back to what Christ did for you. If you have a problem, if you're cycling in and out, up and down, roller coaster, the only way that you're going to get off of that roller coaster over and over again is to renew yourself in the Word of God and take heart. Remember what happened to your sin. It was paid for in full at the cross. God has, in one sense, freed us from the tyranny of that awful presence. We're still dealing with it, but it's been dealt with. I just want to close here with 1 Thessalonians 5. I believe this is verse 9. Here we are. Verse 8. Yep. But let us who are of the day be sober. You want to know if you are of the day? You're in Christ. Be sober. And that's just not like completely dealing with alcohol here. You know that people can be intoxicated just in all types of ways. They're just intoxicated. They're intoxicated with worry. They're intoxicated with just the stuff of this world. Finances, money. Let us be sober. Let us and scripture will sober you up. I love to think about being sober-minded. That no matter what's going on in my world, I don't have to fall apart. And putting on the breastplate of faith. So this is a securing yourself in one sense. And Paul would really develop the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. But this breastplate of faith, which is saying that I know I am right with God because I've placed faith in Jesus. You know, it's a breastplate of love too. You think about how God protects, how the armor protects the soldier. You know, it's a protection. And love really, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, says the word of God. And that's why we can be long-suffering with each other. Even the detailed pastor. Right, brother? All right. You know, it's a long-suffering in the church. That should be that. We should be patient, forbearing with one another. For God did not appoint us to wrath. A lot of people who struggle with sin think, oh, God's going to punish me. Well, you may actually pay consequences for that, but the ultimate wrath was poured out on Jesus. And if you're in him, there's no, that wrath that you're thinking about, that you might be, I'm going to spend eternity in hell type wrath. The only way that you're going to spend eternity in hell is that you're going to ignore Jesus and what he did for you. That's it. For the believer, that wrath has been satisfied because God will judge sin. But see, as you see the time frame since Jesus full payment on that cross to this very moment, November 18th, 2018, you see the long suffering of God. That's the long suffering of God. And you and I could be thinking this way too. Put on the breastplate of faith and love as in the helmet of the hope of salvation. This is a helmet. Your thought life should be protected by the word of God. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, in other words, right now living in this body, or we sleep, right, we should live together with him. It is scriptural accuracy to say that when a believer dies, he goes immediately in the presence of God. It's not this long-term soul sleep, right? That has been dealt with, right? We know that we have an instant access into heaven. That's why we can rejoice with a family whose loved one is in heaven. And sometimes it's frankly hard to rejoice when I don't know. My prayer is that I never want to say to someone, they're not in heaven. How do I know? I don't know someone's heart, but I know this, that if they receive Christ at any point in their life, they're with the Lord. That's why there's an awkwardness sometimes in getting a family member to see that, but that's what you want to fight for. You want to fight for that. And it's a simple communication. You're not trying to load people up. You just need to be like me, right? Just be like me. I'm like dedicated now. That's the other thing. Christians get really sometimes instantly involved in things that forget the simplicity of the gospel message, and we want to keep first things first. Some people you are going to have to spend a lot of time with to win them to the Savior. Don't give up and don't start praying for them. Paul would say, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. That's the hope of this wonderful time of the year. Your thankfulness for his faithfulness, that you and I would be thankful people for already for what God's doing in our lives. Because God is faithful. God is accomplishing what he wants to do. And if we were to get to all the way to the end of that chapter 5 there, faithful is he who calls you, who also will bring it to pass, or also will do it. Do you believe God today? Do you believe him? Do you want to go further on with him? If you're not in Christ today, this is the day. I would love to pray with you to receive Christ. There are other people in this church today that would pray with you to receive Christ. Myself and Mark and Dennis and ladies, but my wife, Beth. There are other ladies here today who also would be glad to pray with you. Ginny and Kevin. Ginny's in Sunday school. Kevin can come up. And if you need prayer this morning, if you want to just say, I'm ready. I want to be saved today. This is the day. Go into Thanksgiving 2018 as a new creation. Don't leave this building without being saved. We love you. Our church really cares. And we're here to express the grace of God through our lives, all for the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that our church has to bring forth the word of life in Jesus. I want to thank you for what you're doing here. We pray that our sensitivity to your Spirit's leading would continue, Lord, that we would look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame, but he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My question to you this morning, do you know him? Have you placed all your sin on Jesus? If you've never done that, you know for sure I've never done that. Would you do that today? And I'm just going to ask, with every head bow, every eye closed, just slip up your hand and I'll pray for you right now. Anybody here? Father, I pray that as you are working new life in people in this church, that this would be the day that they're done. They're just done trying to figure this whole thing out, but they're going to put their faith in the one who said, it is finished. The final words of our Savior, it is finished. And for that we say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Now we just need to come and grow in this wonderful, matchless grace. Father, I pray this morning that you would continue to speak to hearts. If you've been struggling the last couple weeks and you're just feeling this pain, this grief, this burden, and this difficulty, and perhaps it's the highs and lows of life, and you need prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you for those who are willing to be honest with the real burdens of this life. Lord, I pray now that you would just, as we sing our final song to you, that you would work on hearts. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you need prayer, don't hesitate. Just come up here and stand, and we'll be praying for you. I'm going to come up and just stand here this morning. If you want to make sure you know, and I'll be praying with you privately over here. Kevin, too. This might be the day. So ladies are going to sing. Let's sing together. If you want to come up, I'll be happy to pray with you this morning.